Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau from Compassionate Cooks, which I founded to empower people to make informed food choices and to debunk myths about vegetarianism and animal rights. You can learn more about who we are and what we do by visiting our website, CompassionateCooks.com. And another way you can support us is by subscribing to this podcast on iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use and vote for us in those places as well. And certainly you can post a review on a lot of those places on the internet, or you can send us an email at info@CompassionateCooks.com. This will help others to find us more easily and encourage them to listen when you post your review. But anyway, thank you for whatever you do to help us out. So most of us are pretty comfortable with the word meat. We hear it all the time, and for most people, it's not a loaded word. For me, however, it is. I struggle with using that word because the word meat basically refers to the cut-up pieces of a once living animal, and it very effectively reduces animals to inanimate objects, both in reality and by the use of our language. So most people don't think about it that way, though, and don't have a problem using the word meat because the animal is literally removed from that word. There's a real disassociation. However, if I were to use a word like flesh, which is what meat is, or if I were to use the word corpse, which is what it is, or carcass, which is what it is, I could be accused of being offensive or militant or in your face. Even if I used the word dead animal, which, let's face it, folks, it's definitely what it is, I might be accused of being insensitive. What if I said body parts? Same thing, right? Many of the words we use to refer to animals' body parts are equally innocuous for most, such as pork or bacon or sausage, beef, steak, loin, flank, hamburger, meatball, cold cuts, ham, salami, pepperoni, roast, ground beef, sirloin, veal, chuck. All of those are socially acceptable, but if I just said body parts, that's not okay. It's interesting that we can actually refer to specific body parts without being squeamish, such as leg, breast, rib, wings, rump, but I think it's because we've been so desensitized to those words when referring to meat that we just don't think about it. But when we hear about others eating tongues or feet or heads or intestines or stomachs or genitalia, and I'm not kidding and I'm not trying to be shocking, people do eat all sorts of things. People are really bothered by that, but those are just body parts that, though they're not eaten in our culture, are perfectly acceptable elsewhere. It's all relative, because really, how different is eating a dismembered leg from eating a dismembered head? You see, I'm sure some of you are uncomfortable with that language, and some of you may have stopped listening, but I'm just saying exactly what it is. To get those rumps or legs or wings or thighs for our dinner plates, whether we like it or not, animals are cut up with a chainsaw. In the case of large animals, they're gutted to remove their entrails, they're skinned, and they're chopped up. It sounds like a horror movie. But again, even using that kind of language is taboo, saying things like, you know, they're skinned and they're chopped up. But I'm just really saying what happens. Ironically, we can say chicken. We can say turkey, duck, goose, quail. We really seem to have it in for the birds. But listen to the difference one letter makes. So if I say to you, so do you eat chicken? Do you eat chicken? You don't think anything of it, right? The word chicken has been reduced to such a degree that people don't even think of the animal when they hear that word. Same goes for the other birds I mentioned already. Do you eat turkey? Do you eat duck? Do you eat duck? You know, you don't think anything of it. But what if instead of asking you, do you eat chicken, if I said, do you eat chickens? Do you eat chickens? Hear the difference? Do you eat turkeys? Do you eat turkeys? Do you eat chicken? Do you eat chickens? Just by adding that S, by making it plural, it kind of puts the animal back into that word. And I like that because it helps to keep us honest. Of course, words from other languages makes animal parts seem more edible. Caviar and foie gras, tripe and pâté. Sadly, for the fishes, we don't seem to have an emotional connection to them, so we can just call their bodies what they are. We tend to just call the meat that we eat that come from sea animals the name of the fish themselves, right? So trout, salmon, shrimp, lobster. However, think about the reaction most people have to being served fishes. And yes, fishes is a grammatically correct word. And again, pluralizing it kind of animalizes them a bit more. But think about how people react when they see a fish with the head still on, right? With the eyes staring back at them. A lot of people are uncomfortable with that. One of my lines when I was eating sea life was lobsters. I couldn't eat other fishes and lobster when I could see the whole body. And I had my own blocks, okay? We all have our blocks, and that was mine. I ate other sea creatures, but I just couldn't eat lobsters. Someone gave me shark ones too, and I couldn't do that. Another disassociation we have with lobsters is that when they're depicted pictorially or verbally, they're always red. Lobsters aren't red. Lobsters are not red when they're alive. They're red when they're dropped in boiling hot water, but they're not red when they're alive. So I always found that really interesting, that every time you see a picture of a lobster, they're red. Even if they're, you know, they're in a children's book and that book might be depicting live animals, they'll show, you know, a cow, the way a cow looks, a dog, the way a cat, dog looks, and a cat, the way a cat looks. But when they show a lobster, they show that lobster is red, which I think is very sad for that lobster. The other interesting language we use is around milk, milk in quotes. When I say milk, certainly the first stuff you think of is that which comes from a lactating cow. And the dairy industry pretty much thinks they own that word. They resent that non-dairy beverage companies use it to refer to almond or oat, hazelnut, rice, soy, coconut. There are actually cases of the dairy industry suing the soy milk industry, arguing that they own that word and that soy companies can use the word beverage. What would they expect lactating human mothers to say? I imagine breast beverage, breast stuff, mother's liquid instead of mother's milk. It's ridiculous. They don't own that word. So say it with me. Soy milk, rice milk, almond milk. There. You just ticked off the dairy industry. Doesn't it feel good? I encourage people to say what they mean when referring to milk. I know some people find it jarring at first, but I simply cannot say milk when referring to cow's milk. It's cow's milk. Rat's milk is rat's milk. Dog's milk is dog's milk. Human milk is human milk. Rice milk, and cow's milk is just that. It's milk from a cow. So next time you're serving tea, you can also ask your guests if they would like sugar along with the mammary secretions of a cow. I'm just saying what it is. That's another word I like, secretions. I don't like to use the word product, animal products, because that word also commodifies the animal and their body parts and their body, well, secretions, because there simply isn't another word for the stuff that comes out of our bodies. Folks, saliva and blood, milk and eggs, which is the part of a menstrual cycle of a bird, they're all bodily secretions. They're not products when they come from humans, and they're not products, to my mind, when they come from animals. But because animals have been reduced to commodities by humans, it's a word we've become accustomed to using. So I do prefer the word secretions. But again, I know it's a word that a lot of people don't like because we've been so desensitized to all of this. So I think you get the idea. I think all of us participate in a kind of hypocritical, dishonest game that ultimately belittles animals. It minimizes their suffering, commodifies them, and legitimizes and conceals our institutionalized abuse of them. My point is, if we can't call something what it is before eating it, then maybe we have a problem eating it. If we have to use language that masks what we're eating and desensitizes us to the truth, then maybe we're not comfortable with what we're doing. So try it. Practice for 1 week being mindful of the language you use to refer to the stuff you're eating. Again, like I said, I have a hard time referring to food when referring to animals and animal flesh and secretions. But call the stuff what it is. Try saying cow's milk instead of milk or whatever lactation fluid you're drinking, whether it's cow's milk or goat's milk or sheep's milk or human milk, whatever you're drinking, just call it what it is. I dare you. Try it. It's very interesting because you'll be very aware of your language and your use of language. Another day we'll talk about the language we use that establishes animals as lower life forms, you know, as inferior to humans, and that justifies our violence towards them, like calling people pigs or using expressions like kill two birds with one stone. But that, my friends, is for another day. I wish you much health and much happiness, and may your life be a reflection of your truth. Thanks for listening.